Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show.
Wade,
I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. And I'm just hitting record because my head just exploded off of the idea that this a joke I made is something that actually happened. So I'm just gonna keep recording because I don't even know how to respond.
Oh, you're recording now?
Yeah, I'm recording now.
Oh, cool.
What the fuck?
No warnings here.
No warnings here, man.
Gorilla podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Gorilla podcasting.
We've only been talking for the past
2 hours.
Right.
To my right, my co-host, the pinnacle of political perfection, Sue Bulgari.
What up, everybody?
To my left, the guy who we've been trying to get on the show for a while, but life gets in the way. And unfortunately, nature found a way. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Powerful Brandon. I'd ask how you're doing, but let's be real. You can't answer.
They could. You could just talk to them. So anyway.
They just have to be really loud.
We record live.
Yeah, live.
Right. Audience, we're talking about.
Yeah. People next door will answer. Shut the fuck up!
Oh, man. Yeah, essentially. It's like who cares? Oh, man. So we've been trying to do this for a while, man. I met Brandon last year. Yeah, we have been talking about doing a podcast together for a while, and it just never worked out because, you know, we're both busy people. We're both trying to be adults. It doesn't really work out the way we want it to.
Yes, life gets in the way.
We're both super dorks. He's the reason I actually realized that Superman isn't a piece of shit character because he told me to actually give it a shot. actually, no, that's a lie. My best friend Lavelle said, give Superman a try. You'll like it. He's not a shitty character.
Oh, I thought for a second you were going to say he told you to listen to me. It's so nice. I don't even know him.
And just so I don't feel too bad, I think I recall telling you that Superman wasn't that bad either.
No.
Sorry.
I'm going to ignore that. I'll edit it.
Yeah, I'll fix this later so no one heard you.
This will be fixed in post.
Whatever.
But he was saying that. So I started getting into it little by little. I started reading just some random DC Comics stuff, and I started enjoying it. It was like, alright, but there was never any, no one could really give me a definitive, like, Superman book to read.
I think I gave you several.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Then you told me, it was like, try Rebirth.
Yeah, Rebirth is definitely one for sure. It's not something that I would say go to straight away, just because there are some, especially over the past 30 years, there are some retellings of his origin and whatnot that are pretty big deals, especially a touchstone is 1986's The Man of Steel, illustrated by John Byrne. That was post-Crisis Superman, after they did away with the, you know, Superman that can move planets and has powers.
The depowered,
like,
Superman.
Yeah, no super ventriloquism for this guy. You know, this is somebody who, he didn't land on Earth and immediately had powers as soon as he was out of the rocket. This is a guy who, his powers developed slowly over time, absorbing solar radiation and, you know, still developing through adolescence. And also, then this was a big deal because it wasn't really something that was done previously. Both of his parents were alive. Because before that point, Superman didn't have, like, Ma and Pa Kent to go to or anything. And John Byrne, I think very wisely, was like, you know what? I don't want to make Lois Lane just an idiot. She's supposed to be a world-class Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative journalist.
I remember that being one of your biggest issues with the Lois Lane character. And I remember we actually had a conversation about the fact that, because I said one of my biggest issues with Man of Steel was, like, I was like, I don't like the damsel in distress character that Lois Lane is, and you were like, well, that's not what she is in the comic books. She's a lot, she actually is one of the reasons Superman is as strong morally as he is as an adult.
Absolutely. But the thing is, to have her be someone that you want to have show up in the stories on a day-to-day basis for the character of Clark Kent, you need to have somebody that he can actually relate to outside of just being Superman. And because he couldn't really trust too many people with the fact that he can do these things, John Burns decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to have his mother and father be a big part of his life because they're the ones that raised him and know everything that he's been able to do and has to go through. So it was really cool to see how, especially with Jonathan Kent, Pa Kent, over the years, the relationship between Clark and Jonathan and how essentially, and my brother Chris is the one that put it so succinctly, Clark Kent is the real person, like not the way that he was done in the golden age of comics where he really is Superman, but Clark Kent is just like
the alter ego.
Yeah,
how it's not like Batman where Batman is like the real person, Bruce Wayne is the alter ego.
But a lot of people mistake and they dive back into the old school golden age Siegel and Schuster kind of idea that Superman is actually who he is and Clark Kent is the disguise he uses and how he views humanity, like, mm-hmm. you know, kind of weak and soft and bumbling. No, John Byrne developed Clark Kent into an actual person, and Clark Kent is the man who Jonathan and Martha Kent raised. Superman is what he's capable of doing, mm-hmm. and it's a combination of full-on what he was given by birthright of, you know, from being from Krypton, like those abilities, but with Jonathan Kent's moral center.
Yeah.
So it's basically the perfect marriage of his upbringing and heritage all together.
I like that take because it makes it easier to explain the type of Superman stories that I like.
Yeah.
I like evil Superman, right? I like people. I like those powerful characters mm-hmm. to be more human. In order for them to be more human, I think about what would happen if a human had those types of powers. We're pretty shitty.
So okay. Right? It's funny you say that.
That's fair.
Me and I think one of the few times we've argued has been over the Injustice Superman.
Yes.
Who you hate.
Go ahead.
So, no, because I think this is a good conversation to have because alternate realities are weird.
I love alternate realities stuff.
But they're weird.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a little different when a character you love is almost butchered from what you're normally used to looking at. I'm trying to think of a reality where I hated Wolverine, but Wolverine's been one of my favorite characters, as is like Deadpool. Thankfully, Deadpool's pretty much the same throughout the multiverse. There are a few incarnations where he's different, but for the most part, he's the same person.
That happens when you break the fourth wall.
Yeah,
super self-aware.
But I've seen some writers who've in their interpretation of it, I'm like, wow, this is a giant piece of shit, and I never want to read it ever again. So is it what Superman represents? Is that what it was that kind of like just pissed you off about, or is it just the writing?
No. I think insofar as it being started as a video game story, and then it became a comic book that was very popular after the fact. Yeah. That's great, and for someone who loves the medium of comic books, if it got more people to read more comics, fantastic.
Yes.
But what I take issue with is not the story, not what was done with Superman within that story, because that story is what it is. Yeah. It's its own story. It's not in continuity. I don't have to worry about it bleeding through into anything else. It's the people who I've had conversations with that cite injustice as reasoning for Superman to do or not do something that makes me want to pull the no hair I have on the top of my head out.
I understand that completely.
So
I do.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah,
it's like someone saying,
"Listen,
it's like someone saying,
enjoy the comic, but please understand that story and comic book has nothing to do with
anything. No bearing on anything. Like, if someone said to me, like, oh, Iron Man could beat Thor because it didn't
move. It's very self-contained.
Well, I like Injustice. But when I think about evil Superman, I'm not necessarily thinking about Injustice because, like you, I see, at first, you got me into Injustice because I was avoiding it. I saw it as just a video game tie-in. I didn't think it was as deep and as good as it was.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking more of, like, Superboy Prime, right?
Okay.
Things like that. They're in continuity, right?
Yeah.
And there's a backstory that explains why a person like that would snap with that much power, right? But then when you include a family that's actively trying to keep Superman from snapping, right? That makes sense to me. Like, all that power, the ability, like, Superman's power set is ridiculous, right? One of my it's not in a bad way.
Yeah, no.
But he can do literally anything, right?
But it's one of my favorite moments in Superman history, and I'm pretty sure we can all agree, is that moment in Justice League Unlimited, where he gives that speech about living in a world made out of cardboard. And I fucking loved it because it was like, that's exactly what I could imagine what it feels like. And then when he hit Darkseid, I'm like,
yeah.
That still wasn't...
Like, I want to thank you. I never get a chance to cut loose.
I don't even think he cut loose then either. Because I think if he would have hit Darkseid as hard as he wanted to, Darkseid's head would have flew off his fucking shoulders.
Maybe.
But like, how does Superman live a life where he doesn't snap? Like, him snapping one time will destroy the whole world, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the things I love about him, though, because he is always
well, so... Well, that's why I think it's very important that the rules of what John Byrne set in The Man of Steel with how he was brought up and how his powers developed, those rules have been pretty much adhered to over the years since. When Mark Waid did Birthright, when Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale did Superman for All Seasons. And then when Jeff Johns did Superman Secret Origin, they've all kind of given their own spin and whether or not something is in or out of continuity. Oh, even also J. Michael Straczynski with Superman Earth 1.
He did Superman?
Earth 1, yeah.
Oh, I gotta read that. I love Straczynski.
It's out on Unlimited, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. But the thing is, like, they've all stuck to the idea that his powers develop slowly over time, which is important because it allowed for him to grow up a normal kid and also go through the trials and tribulations that any developing consciousness goes through. Like, he needed to be taught right from wrong. And you can't teach a child to do the right thing if they are literally capable of doing whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah,
that's a damn
good
analogy for it.
He was able to get sick and break bones growing up. He actually, they have established in the comics, like, he did actually break his leg once when he was a kid.
Really? Because,
yeah, he fell out of a tree. And it's one of those things that actually helps Clark Kent occasionally be like, no, there's no way I'm Superman. Like, I broke my leg once, you know. But it's just, you know, he went through normal stuff and... Because of that, like, he idolized his dad, Jonathan Kent. And Jonathan Kent was just a really good dude. And because of his own moral compass and his... Especially for a, you know, small rural community farmer in Kansas, he had a pretty open mind and very philosophical way of looking at things, even though it was, like, kind of, you know, down to earth, like, very earthy type advice that he would seem to give. And that's the big deal about Superman. That's why he's such a good person, is because, really, like, what does not being a good person get you? It just makes you bitter. It grows resentment. And, honestly, it feels the way he was raised. And it'd be nice to have everybody kind of at least think about these things every once in a while. It feels good to be good to other people.
It's funny that you bring that up, because... I was trying to think about the last DC book I read, because I've been on a Marvel binge lately.
Yeah.
But I did, talking to old man here, I did try to attempt to start Rebirth.
Yeah.
That Superman issue, the first issue where he's talking to his son, right? When they're telling him, like, you can't depend on your powers, you can't use your powers.
Yeah.
You have to protect, you have to be a normal person, right? And the fact that his son seems to be more powerful than he was at that age.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see how that advice put, because you just say, like, if he had those abilities as a kid, it would be much harder.
Well, but on the other side of it, on the plus side for their son John, who he named after his dad, Jonathan Kent,
who's a real, thank you again. Something else you put me onto, Super Sons.
Oh my god, I love that series.
Super Sons is really
that was such a good series.
Is that with Damian and John? And
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. Oh yeah,
they that's what we talked about. You were pissed.
I was so pissed that they got rid of it once Bendis signed on. But they just finished the 12 issue maxi series they did afterwards this week.
That's what I'm gonna go to.
But yeah, like what were we saying? John and Clark. The other side of it, though, like, it still works because he's still imparting all those same moral lessons. And Lois is a very moral person, yeah, too. Mm-hmm. For someone who spends so much time as an investigative journalist, she can sometimes be black and white, which is a good thing, because she certainly doesn't let the gray areas seep into how she, like, her family has been constructed and how she deals with her own kid, like, with Clark. But the fact that John has his power so much earlier than Clark, it still kind of amounts to the same thing as when Jonathan was raising Clark, because Clark didn't have those powers when Jonathan was raising him. John having those powers is okay because
Superman is fucking spanked. Yeah, yeah.
You're like, what's that kid gonna do? He'll still get spanked.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
and they'll probably hurt.
Yeah, more than likely.
And I also love that they made, like, John is like a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? He has, like, these, like, I was reading an issue of Justice League Rebirth, and he was super excited to show someone his room.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, this is so cool, because cause despite having the power, despite all that, he still does really immature stuff. Mm-hmm. He still wants more than two scoops of ice cream. He still hates school. He still hates homework.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love watching him and Damian.
One of the things that they do really well, too, is, like, yeah, he's Clark's kid, but he's also Lois's kid.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, a lot of that, like, troublemaking rambunctiousness that he has.
That's definitely Lois.
Yeah, that's not Clark. That's Lois. That's him being Lois's son.
Inquisitive, wants to, like, know everything.
He's a little too curious.
I think I'm gonna get stuck in, like, a time warp and become old instantly, because I can't wait to see what kind. Only because of my curiosity, I can't wait to see what kind of hero.
I'm pretty sure we'll get a. Who's Goku's kid?
You were asking the wrong guy.
Who's Goku's kid?
So he has Gohan, Goten.
Who's the one who came back from the future?
That's Vegeta and.
Alright, guys. Okay, whatever. I'm gonna let you know this right now. That has already happened.
Okay.
Okay,
Brian Michael Bendis started writing for Superman, and John went off with his other grandfather, Jor-El.
Jor-El's still around? Yes!
Mr. Oz.
Yeah. Okay, can I just tell you that for some reason I saw that with
John. John goes out into space with Jor-El, and John gets stuck in a time warp on Earth 2 with the Crime Syndicate of America. And he's stuck there for, like, 5 years. And so when he finally gets out and Jor-El is able to get him back to Earth, they've only been gone for a couple of weeks, but John is now, like, 17 years old.
Is that the actual continuity?
I can't wait to get back
into the
17 years old.
That's part of the reason why they had to end Super Sons. Because Brian Michael Bendis had this plan for John.
All right. I want to know if the audience...
I think it's because they're going to end up having him go to the 30th century to be Superboy in the Legion of Superheroes.
Can everyone hear me roll my eyes right now?
I mean, that's a pretty typical comic book trope.
I know, but, like, I wanted to see him grow. Kind of like X-23, like, watching her go from, like, a runaway to, like, an X-Man to, like, kind of become, like, slowly becoming her own person.
That just gets into one of the issues that I've had for, no pun intended because we're talking about comics, but one of the issues that I've had is I love the idea of legacy, and I think my first real ideas of legacy within, like, comic book or comic book-like stories was, the Flash. I loved how they established, you know, later on, by the time I was reading comic books in the mid to late 80s, that Barry Allen got his powers, but he was a comic book geek. Mm. And he took the name The Flash from the comic books based on the adventures of Jay Garrick, the Golden Age Flash, but he designed the costume to look different because, and this is for real, you can look it up in the comics, he didn't want to get sued by DC Comics for wearing the same costume as The Flash.
But not only do Marvel Comics exist in DC, DC Comics exist in DC.
Well, and that's the thing, like, there was this weird thing with, like, the Flash actually being there and on a different vibrational frequency that in another city, like the sister city, it's a central city, it was Keystone City, but I'm not going to get into that altogether. But basically, when Barry died in Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was one of the best comic book deaths for the longest time, and
apparently he ended up in Marvel, but whatever.
But Jeff Johns really liked Barry Allen, and he brought him back, and I honestly kind of wish he had never done it. Wally West became the Flash from being Kid Flash, and he had to really come to terms with whether or not he was actually, like, good enough to be the Flash. And he grew into the role and made it his own. And it was really cool to see that, like, that idea of legacy. Mm-hmm. Like, he was now, like, the third Flash. So that actually leaves room for, like, development and growth in stories, and you never know, like, there could be a fourth Flash moving forward, and there actually was, and that was very short-lived. Bart Allen, Impulse, became the Flash for briefly.
Where is he now? Is he dead?
Who?
Bart. Because he was a Teen Titan, wasn't he?
Yes, but he died during Infinite Crisis by running Superboy Prime into the Speed Force.
Mm-hmm. Jesus. But is he the one who defeated him?
It's the reason why Superboy Prime has a irrational fear of speedsters.
It's because of Bart Allen.
I wouldn't call it irrational. Like, speedsters are speedsters alone, I think, with, like, people who look at Iceman, all he does is make ice. I'm like, he does a little more than that.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like, when people say, like, the Flash, all he does is run fast, I'm like, you're oversimplifying what the fuck he can do.
The other thing, my dad was a big comic book geek and stuff. That's how I got into comic books at a very early age. His favorite comic strip growing up was The Phantom.
Oh, wow, that's Ghost. That's classic.
And my dad told me all about The Phantom, and I always thought it was so cool that whenever The Phantom died, he had always trained his children to take over the mantle once he was gone. And it added to the idea that The Phantom legitimately was a walking ghost, like a living ghost.
But it seems like, your point with legacy, do you think that will work with every character? Because the characters, the Flash, right? His power comes from the Speed Force. It's not inherent to him, necessarily, right?
Yeah.
So, the Speed Force, anybody with the right circumstances can be imbued with the Speed Force, right? The Bat family. People could learn how to become the super detectives.
The Speed Force is, like, semi-sentient. Mm-hmm. So it's not as if, like, you could just necessarily access it and you'd be a speedster.
Thank you for telling me that, because I was going to set up a bunch of chemicals in a lab, spill them all over me, and, like, electrocute myself.
I highly recommend not doing any of that for any reason.
What the hell, man? What are we going to play on this lab for then?
Freaking powerful Brandon just screwed up our plans, man.
God damn it, Brandon!
Yeah, stupid me saving you from a trip to the emergency room. I won't do that again.
Emergency room and leaving with powers.
Exactly.
I have powers everywhere I go. That's why I'm powerful Brandon.
Nah, I see what you did there.
But the thing is, in talking about legacy, there's actually I grew up as a huge fan of What Ifs and Elseworlds, because I love alternate reality stuff. With What Ifs and Marvels... Exiles. What's that?
Exiles.
Yeah. What Ifs in Marvel especially, I thought were great because I would get them, and if I didn't necessarily get what really happened, and that's the thing, like, I'm talking about 90s What Ifs where they straight up came out every month, and the question for what the situation was on the fucking cover. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to, like, figure it out while reading the story. Like, what is the different situation here? I hated that.
Really?
I hated when they didn't say.
Oh, okay.
Like towards the end of the series itself, it would just be like, what if, starring Sabretooth? And then they'd never ask a question.
the last What If, I think, was Thor. And it was just him... You could kind of assume what it was about,
yeah.
He looked, but it didn't really...
There was nothing direct.
Yeah.
But the thing I loved about it as a kid was, if I didn't know enough about the actual situation, it forced me to, like, learn more about it, and I'd, like, either have to buy the comics or borrow comics from the guy who lived up the street from me. So it made me read even more. In Elseworlds from DC, which was their version of What If, only... It wasn't a monthly series, and everything came out in prestige format. So it was actually kind of a more of an event.
Well, Elseworlds, right? Do you consider them in the same categories, what ifs? Because it seems like...
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, a lot of them are predicated upon asking the question, what if... Like, for example, Superman speeding bullets. What if Kal-El's rocket ship... what if the winds had shifted slightly the night that his rocket ship touched down? And he landed not outside of a farm in Smallville, Kansas, but just outside of the Wayne Estate on the Gotham City line.
Oh, dear God, is that actually a thing?
Superman speeding bullets, absolutely. He is found by Thomas and Martha Wayne and raised as Bruce, and they are still gunned down in Crime Alley, and he ends up becoming Batman. But he suppressed his powers from the night that his parents were shot, because when his parents were shot and killed in front of him, instead of just falling to the ground and screaming and crying, he fell to the ground, screamed, and used his heat vision for the first time and burned Joe Chill alive in front of his own face. And he completely suppressed his abilities and his memory of that.
Well, that's crazy. There's also no sun in Gotham.
There is definitely sun in Gotham.
There is no sun in Gotham. There was a literally Batman. No, I'm not sure if it was Batman or Tim Drake said it's either snowing, raining, or cloudy in Gotham.
That's what Bruce pretends to run. Bruce Enterprises, whatever it's called. But the thing is, I was assuming that the Elseworlds stories just involved one of the worlds in like the 52.
That 52 thing is only something that's come up in the past like 15 to 20 years. Yeah. Elseworlds were being
like done before that.
I mean, there's another one, another Superman one called Superman Cal. Yep, that's it right there. Superman Speeding Bullets that you're looking at. That's the last page of it you just looked at right there.
Spoiler!
Yeah, like Superman Cal, the rocket ship touches down in medieval times.
Okay.
And he's found by farmers in medieval Britain. And he grows up on a farm and ends up becoming apprentice to a blacksmith. Mm. And he meets Lady Lois. And the blacksmith who he's apprenticing to, his name is Al. And he has a son named Jamie. So his son, his redheaded son, becomes Cal's best friend, Jamie All's son. Yep, and then Lord Luther of Lexington is the bad guy.
Lord Luther of Lexington. Yeah,
basically it all ties up into Arthurian legend. It turns out that Excalibur is a sword that Cal made from the metal of his rocket ship. After being...
Question is, why would he even need a sword?
He made it... I was actually just going to say... He was actually, Lord Lexington found the rocket ship in a field, in the farmer's field. He's like, well, I own all this land, so I guess it must be mine. And he brings it to Al, who's one of the best blacksmiths in, like, you know, miles and miles around. And Al's like, I can't even dent this shit. And Cal's like, let me try. And so he's got the fires burning as hard as they can go. And, like, people are like, I swear to God, you can like see, you can almost see fire coming out of his eyes, and his skin's not even blistering. And so he's the only one that can work the metal to bend it. Lexington wanted it turned into a suit of armor, which he does. But he saved some of the metal and made a sword to go with it, and kept the sword for himself. That's why. But it turns, basically, he marries Lois. Lord Lexington invokes Prima Nocta, which is, he has the right to deflower the bride on the first night of a marriage. Yep, that was Prima Nocta, man.
That's gross.
Yeah, it is. But I'm not saying it was right.
They really bought into this whole medieval...
And he ends up killing her that night because she fights back against him.
Huh.
And then Cal loses his fucking mind and storms the castle. Lexington is wearing the armor, but he's also wearing one of the... green rocks that he found alongside the rocket.
Interesting.
He realizes that it's making Cal weak, so he jumps and stabs Cal in the chest with the kryptonite gem, but at the same time, Cal holds up the sword just as he's about to land, and it runs through the armor and completely impales Lord Lexington. They put Lady Lois's body in the lake, alongside Cal in the sword. Cal used the last of his strength to put the sword in an anvil.
Oh.
And that the thing is, like, it's old man Jamie who's telling this story to his new young apprentice, because Jamie in the story is, like, really into reading and science and stuff. And he's telling this young boy all about the story of his old friend Cal. And he gets to the last page and he's got, like, a tear in his eye, this old man, like, remembering fondly his friend and how tragically he and his lady love died. And the kid is just like, that's so, you know, like, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe, like, how much more can I learn about these things? It's like, oh, there's a lot to learn, but don't you worry. We'll get to those lessons and more, young Merlin. Now finish your soup. And I remember reading that when I was 12. I was like, that's cool shit, man. Like, I don't care who you are. Like, that's fun.
Like, that's pretty dope.
Yeah.
I might have to buy that, like,
immediately. Here's the thing. I have every single Elseworld ever made. I collected every one of them. I had to hunt them down for years. Now, one of the best stories across all of comicdom, but particularly in the big two, I've ever read, and this is the reason I brought up Elseworlds and explained them a little bit, is called Superman and Batman Generations. And it was written and illustrated by John Byrne, the same guy who restarted Superman post-Crisis. And it's predicated upon the idea of legacy and continuity. John Byrne's whole premise is Superman Batman Generations. Superman first appears in 1938, and Batman first appears in 1939, and time progresses completely normally from that point.
Wow.
They age, they get married, they have kids. Their kids take on roles as superheroes. At one point, Lois is pregnant with their first kid. And there's different types of kryptonite. And one that not a lot of people necessarily know about, it's called gold kryptonite. And it permanently robs a Kryptonian of their powers. It turns them human. Lex Luthor exposes Lois Lane, a pregnant Lois Lane, to gold kryptonite, turning their child into a normal human child. It's a boy that they named Joel. They get pregnant a couple years later with their second kid, a daughter that they named Kara, like Supergirl. Mm-hmm.
His cousin, yeah.
But here's the thing, there is no cousin Kara. His daughter has powers. She starts to develop them very young. So Lois actually gives her a red sunstone.
Is that red kryptonite?
No.
It's okay.
It's like red solar radiation, essentially. Yeah. But it's
like kind of like the it gates.
It negates her powers, so she could wear it and be fine.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up developing her powers as time goes on, and she becomes Supergirl. And she actually wears a specially designed wig when she is Supergirl, because her hair is blonde, and she keeps it a little shorter, but she wears a long, dark wig that was designed to stay on using, like, a very weak form of electromagnetism, so it stays in place no matter what. It works in tandem with the Kryptonian, like, natural bio-aura.
Yeah.
And she ends up falling in love with Bruce Wayne Jr.
Oh, that's funny.
Who was Robin to Dick Grayson's Batman, because he took over the role for Bruce Wayne. But now Bruce is Batman. What happened was they were going after Joker Jr. And it turns out it was actually the Joker, just with even more makeup and a wig on to make himself look like younger.
Which story
that
is this?
That sounds
Superman Batman Generations.
So, okay. You've been talking a lot about legacy and comic books. Do you think, because I've noticed a trend in both the major studios, right? Mm-hmm. It seems like they're changing the way they're telling the narrative, right? It seems like they're trying to create that feel of legacy within. So you're seeing, you know, Batman has his actual son,
which I'm all for. I actually like Damian.
Yeah, I don't understand the hate of Damian.
I love. You know what's funny is I love that I hate Damian. Oh. I love that I hate how pretentious he is, how much of a douchebag he is. But I also love that all the stories that I've read, the writers make it a point to overdo it, so when he does learn his lesson, he's humbled a little bit. And I like the fact...
He's still only like a 10-year-old kid.
Don't say that because he'll just go, I'm 13! But I also love that he's so much different than everybody in the Bat family.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? He's more Red Hood than he is fucking anybody else in there. You know what I mean?
I mean...
And like, but I love that he's so different. I love that he's so skilled.
He's raised by a psychopath. Yeah, not Batman.
What do you expect from a kid who grew up in, like, was raised by the League of Assassins by his grandfather, Ra's al Ghul, and his mother, Talia?
It's one of these. Sorry,
his dad.
I'm trying to find Superman.
You're not going to find it on Comixology because I've been barking up that tree for years.
Well, my question with that is, do you think that we're going to see eventually the end of these giant reboots to the continuity where we're going back to, like, Superman's origins, Batman's origins? Once, because it seems like the stories get stale or the comic book sales start to lag, and then we get a crisis, right? Things reboot. Do you think we'll see the end or like a change to that where characters start to age? We see the consequences of their actions actually linger?
Yes and no. The idea that I've had in my head, particularly over the past 2 or 3 years, and I think it's actually probably far more feasible than just doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Mostly because, and I say this in the nicest way possible, most fanboys are fascists.
Oh, geez.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's actually 100% true.
One of the things that I fucking hate about, and like, I'm saying this as a guy who's a comic book fan, and this isn't a blanket statement for everyone, every man, woman that truly enjoys comic books. I don't, just because you love comic books, don't call yourself a fanboy, because as far as I'm concerned, that's a bad word.
Yeah.
A fanboy is someone who is rabid to the point of almost just being
unhealthy anger.
Yeah, it's unhealthy. They're ideas and thoughts are incomprehensible. Yeah.
I think the best example of that is those verses things you see on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I honestly, like, ignore them now. Because it's kind of like...
I can't get into that. I've never been able to.
So, it's kind of...
I don't hate on anybody that does it.
Can we explain what we're talking about real quick?
This is fucking great. Because this is a follow-up to your idea. Both of you guys, all three of us here, have this thing of, like, we hate bullies.
Yeah.
And... someone tried to bully Javi, but he ended up getting outsmarted. Go ahead, tell us.
Well, so what we're talking about...
Go back to episode Block Party to hear this.
Don't go back to Block Party.
Please go to Block Party.
So the versus, I guess, is a Facebook trope now, right? Like, for comic book, quote-unquote, nerds, whatever, right? So you take two random characters, and you ask, who will win in a fight? Now, I hate these things primarily because it usually involves characters from different universes, right? Just different power sets, different rules.
So there's no real set parameters to start.
There's no way to tell who would win. Yeah. But the arguments that come out of this.
Oh, I know, dude. It's so bad. People get, like, they
are vehement. I got blocked. I don't even remember what the argument was. To be honest with you,
I forget who the versus was.
Yeah.
But no matter what the argument was, it's not worth that.
So this dude in particular, I look at him as a person who
likes comic books.
No, I don't think he does that. I don't think he likes comic books. I think you ever look at someone who looks at something you love, they find a niche, or is it niche or niche?
I think either would work.
Okay. You could say niche, and I'd be fine with it. Right. Go nuts. Find your niche.
So he found a niche, and he realized that it's become popular. Creates a group. He finds people who actually love the genre of nerddom, and he's decided that he is going to promote stuff. Which, do you think? But Javi caught him literally copy and pasting from Wikipedia.
Oh.
So if someone says to me, who wins the fight between... Superman of the Century, for example. Yeah, I could give you a reason for either side.
I feel like I'd need a few days to, like, compile some information to make an argument one way or the other, you know? Yeah,
but you're not gonna go straight to like Wikipedia or some wiki site because you know that. And even if you did, you would say like, hey, such as I got
can I do a public service announcement in between this? Right. So like we all read a lot of comic books in this room, right?
Yes.
I've gone to Wikipedia on occasion sometimes to find out, like, if I'm looking...
Just want to get, like, a quick hit on something you have a question
about. What's next in the series,
there's so many, even on Google, like, if you looked at my history, it'd be, like, whatever series or whatever, followed by reading order or shit like that.
Same here.
What do I read next? What's the next thing? Or what's the thing before? I get it.
Same thing with me. Like I'm a writer. I write and study this stuff. So sometimes you're not going to be able to find like these random like things on it. And if I can't afford to buy something, it's like sometimes I'm like, okay, so if I'm going to get the skeleton up, at least let me find the issues that I need to read. And sometimes Wikipedia is the only source.
It will reference an issue.
I was going to say the references at the bottom of Wikipedia are great.
Yep.
Sometimes, though, the actual articles themselves...
It is. I can read an article about a character that I'm really into, right? And if I'm I'll just read it. And I'm like, oh, this is entirely wrong.
Yeah.
It's missing so much information, right? But then...
It's kind of like CNN saying that Marvel is canceling The Walking Dead.
I'd be all for that. I would love to see Marvel cancel The Walking Dead.
Or Netflix cancel Good Omens.
I would also like to see that just because.
So the public service announcement is Wikipedia. Don't quote Wikipedia. Quote the sources.
Source. Yeah. And that's something.
I think that's what I say. And I think that's why
I went back to college and they were like, listen, you can go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Do not cite Wikipedia. Go to the places that Wikipedia cites.
Yeah.
And read that stuff, and then you can go from there.
Yeah.
But we were talking about legacy, and you know, if I think that the reboots and mega events, crossover events, stuff like that will stop, I don't. Mm. But what I think we might be inching towards is along the lines of like what Marvel did with the Ultimate Universe, and what they were kind of doing with Rebirth initially, like with making it look like we're gonna get some real progression in DC.
And then you find out it's actually New 52.
Because DC, especially right now, they are making a move toward. They got rid of Vertigo, which sucks because I love Vertigo, but at the same time, I understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're trying to make different labels. So it's clear what's made for certain people insofar as age brackets and whatnot. But they're also doing pop-up labels.
Yeah.
I think...
But do you think that plays into the actual narrative in the comic book, especially coming out of the events of Dark Knight's Metal and what that did to the DC multiverse? It seems like what's happening outside, like all this consolidation, right?
Yeah.
It's playing a part in how the story's being told.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, in DC's part, I actually, between the two, I feel when it comes to large scale, like crazy multiverse kind of stuff, I think DC's had a little bit more practice with it. Like, I read Secret Wars, the most recent Secret Wars.
With God Doom,
yeah. and I did not really enjoy that series all that much. It felt like there was a lot of disjointed ideas that didn't fully coalesce to make a completely coherent narrative. I get what they were going for all together. It's, you know, like, I'm not stupid. I get it. But it was missing something. And maybe it's just because we've been getting so many of these events that it felt a bit more hollow than it should have. But that's not to say that the same thing hasn't been happening on the other side with DC.
What was the
series
leading up to? Was it Convergence?
Yes, it was the Convergence that was leading up to that.
Oh yeah, Convergence at the same time. That was a one too that also was just like the only thing for Convergence really that was good that made any real sense was John Kent being born.
Can I just
John Kent's existence was a direct result of Convergence.
Can I just say, I was having this conversation with Javi a million times when we were talking about how I was saying that, like, when they were saying nothing will ever be the same again, it's like, shut the fuck up. I wish that they would have done something where there were no Marvel comics for like 2 weeks. And it is because at the end of the first issue of Secret Wars, it said the beginning of Secret Wars, the beginning of the Marvel Universe, and then whatever year was that. And it was just like, just drop no comic books for 2 weeks. And you're like, what the fuck is happening? And like, you know, give it the illusion that something big did happen. And then drop Secret Wars in one book.
Well, I mean, and that's... Well, here's the thing. That's kind of what I was... Talking about, like, things will never be the same. The reason, once again, that I brought up something like Superman and Batman Generations is because these characters show up exactly when they did according to their first comic book appearances, 38 yes. and 39, and they move on from there. I mean, Joel Kent, Superman's powerless kid, develops an inferiority complex and ends up becoming a Marine and goes to Vietnam and becomes a basically, they think he was killed in war.
And it wasn't Convergence; it was Time Runs Out. I was thinking about the Marvel came into Battle.
Gotcha.
But
the thing is, like,
we're talking about too many universes right now. My brain.
Yeah, that's all right. but like, he develops an inferiority complex, so he does everything to be like this tough guy. Because what would you do growing up as the non-powered son of Superman? That would kind of suck. Turns out the kid had Lex Luthor fucking whispering into his ear since he was like 10. Yeah, like, oh yeah, your dad didn't want you to have powers.
Lex Luthor's a fucking...
Yeah, but here's the thing, like, it spans the course of, like, centuries, this entire story. Mm. But it shows you, like, Joel ended up surviving the Vietnam conflict. He lived in Vietnam for years and married a woman there and had a son with her. Lex Luthor tells him, like, oh, I actually created a formula that will give you the powers of your father. Gives it to him, and he's actually wearing, like, that old... Joel is wearing that old-school Lex Luthor outfit, like the purple-collared shirt with the leather X going across and the green
Super Friends Lex Luthor outfit. Yeah.
Which one record I loved.
And he ends up killing his sister by punching through her chest. She was engaged to Bruce Wayne Jr. and he just fucking backslide. This is right around the 80s when this happens. And Joel, as it turns out, Lex Luthor lied to him. The serum would give him Superman's powers, but it destroyed him after 24 hours.
I would love...
And Bruce Wayne Jr. and his in his, like, being distraught, he finds out about Joel's wife and son and marries her and adopts Joel's son as his own. So he becomes... Oh, I want to say it's like Bruce Wayne III. It's John. John Wayne.
It's so...
Cool figure.
I really... Because I feel like I'm angry I missed
but him. But here's the thing. Yeah. The kid, he raises him just like he would any other kid that... You know, his dad is Batman, training him to be Robin and everything. Yeah. And then, you know, it gets to the point where he's like, well, it's time for you to... Here's your actual Robin suit. And he's like, Dad, I have to tell you something. I know that I'm not actually your son. And he's like, what are you talking about? You're my kid. And he goes, you and Mom would always speak in Vietnamese around me. And I found a kid at boarding school who spoke it. And I learned, and I've been able to understand everything you guys have been saying for the past 10 years. I know I'm not yours, but that's okay. I know that you love me and I love you,
yeah.
But I don't think, because I'm not really Wayne, that I should be the next Robin or Batman. I'm going to be my own person. And he becomes Nightwing.
Oh, jeez.
And then, moving forward,
yeah.
It turns out, like, Superman has been stuck. He volunteered himself into the Phantom Zone because it looks like he murdered Lex Luthor. Well, in all that time, he finally makes his way out. He actually devises a way to create that formula to give someone back their Kryptonian abilities without killing them. And after all these years, he explains to Nightwing who he is. He's his actual grandfather. And gives Nightwing this formula. So now he has all the training of Batman and a quarter of Superman's abilities, which is still pretty friggin' powerful.
Have you been reading Doomsday Clock?
Yeah.
And so the last few issues, right? The way Dr. Manhattan has been viewing the universe.
Yeah.
The multiverse. And how the multiverse has been viewing him.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see that the DC multiverse has a sentience to it.
Right? Yeah.
And there's a progression that happens after every reboot.
Yeah, it's not... It, basically, what we think of as, like, the DC Earth Prime...
Yeah.
That DC Prime universe, it's not a Prime universe. It's the metaverse. Yeah. It's not affected by any of the other realities. All of the other realities are affected by it.
So kind of like the Marvel... Well, not Marvel Cinematic, but, like, the Marvel universe where they explain time, where it's, like, there's the one straight line... That's like, you know, point A to point Z, but something will happen and it'll branch off to this, and then something will happen there and it'll branch off to that.
It's even less metaphorical than that, I think.
Yeah.
What we're seeing is like, it's literally a universe outside of the multiverse.
Yeah.
That.
It's
I get it, but that's
okay, so, kind of cool though. Yeah, so it's the universe that everything important happens in. And what happens there. Dictates how everything else happens in every other multiverse. But everything out here, no matter what happens, it doesn't affect this universe.
Oh.
Everything comes out of that.
Kind of like the world tree, almost.
Yeah.
Like branches of... Like, there's a tree,
But it's not really a cause and effect. It's not like a... It's not really like a, you know, like timeline A or branching off. It is what it is. And just because of the way things reverberate from it, maybe it'll have an effect on some of the other multiverses, maybe it won't. But no matter what, whatever happens out there, it never affects in here.
Well, let me quote Dr. Manhattan when he was trying to figure this all out, because I feel like this is confusing.
Yeah.
Dr. Manhattan, I don't understand this universe. That's what he... Yeah. It's confusing. But with that said, two things. How cool would it be if that... universe that you're talking about was actually the metaverse, right? Like, if they were able to expand that, right? And then two, even if that's not the case, right, that proves that theory that these things within the DC multiverse has to happen.
Yeah.
Regardless, there's going to be a Superman, there's going to be a Batman, mm-hmm. there's going to be a Nightwing.
Yeah. It's just so cool to think, like, If they took that and made that like a separate label,
yeah,
I would read those comics, you know, until the cows come home. Oh. I would love to see the titles for, like, okay, like Batman showed up in 1939, Superman showed up in 1938. Show me the stories that are happening now as a result of them showing up back then, but who the heroes are that they begat. You know, like, so Nightwing became Nightwing instead of Robin for his dad in the 80s. Bruce Wayne Jr. went super dark in the 80s. Like, it went, John Byrne drew everything in the styles of the eras.
So, I was going to ask you, so, like, it seems like it got darker. Like, you said, like, did they have, like, the extra patches and stuff?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's dope. Yeah.
He wore armor in the 80s.
Like, I only imagine that this is one YouTube clip with Stan Lee looking at created Deadpool.
Ron Liefeld.
Yeah, Ron Liefeld. He's watching him just drawing. Stan Lee's standing there like, oh, how's he gonna get out that costume? Like, just shitting on this whole, like, just shitting on him the whole time, right? And that's what I imagine with that style.
Apparently,
like,
Ron Liefeld's a dick, so fuck him.
But yeah, like, it just... At that point in time, I mean, there's been a couple of different flashes and so on and so forth. But, regardless, Superman, Batman, all that stuff, they're very archetypal. It's very easy to try and think about what is and what ifs and all that, but really, it all harkens back to the fact that those characters, whether or not you're talking about Superman or... the Fantastic Four people, you know, they're set as what you think of for those types of characters. there's always going to be that germ of familiarity through every version that pops back up.
But the thing is, like, this is exciting because the books I've been reading lately, it seems like the characters are becoming way more self-aware, right? I feel like the consequences of your actions are significant and long-lasting now, right? So I really feel like we're going to see... I don't think it's going to be exactly like that. Where we're these stories last 30 years.
Oh, right? That'd be amazing, but no.
Yeah, they gotta make money off these characters continuously. But I do see a point where the reboots aren't going to change everything.
Yeah,
these consequences, certain consequences of actions, are going to last throughout. Yeah.
I think they're starting to understand that they need to have more long form.
Yeah,
that's really what it comes down to.
And I think in Marvel's case, I think part of that has to do with the popularity of their movies and the fact that these actors that are playing these characters.
A whole other conversation that I'd like to have, like, just separately, because I have some issues with that. I wanted to thank Super Gabby as always for coming in here today. I want to thank Powerful Brandon for coming in here and schooling us.
Yeah,
thank
you
for
having me.
So until then.
Do as I command!
Damn it, Wade!